In 1963, when the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was in jail in Birmingham, Alabama, as we heard from Marcia this morning, he replied to an open letter written by white clergy who were critical of the direct action Dr. King was involved in, along with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights. In letter from a Birmingham jail, Dr. King reminds us of our interdependence, of our duty to follow moral laws rather than immoral ones, and the urgency of addressing injustice immediately. This letter also calls to account white people of faith in whose half-heartedness and silence on behalf of the civil rights movement, Dr. King was gravely disappointed. The beginning of the letter explained why he was in Birmingham. But more basically, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century BC left their villages and carried their "Thus saith the Lord" far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so I am compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my own hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. By 1968, Dr. King's work spreading the gospel of freedom had expanded. He helped launch a Poor People's Campaign. His 1967 book, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, described some of what the 1968 Poor People's Campaign was up against in terms of three systemic evils: poverty, racism, and militarism. And Dr. King paused his work on the Poor People's Campaign to answer a call to support striking sanitation workers in Memphis, where he was murdered. Nevertheless, the 1968 Poor People's Campaign went ahead. They occupied Washington, D.C., building a resurrection city where they could teach and learn, make moral witness to systemic evil, and demand attention to the moral crises of their society. As the time approached for the 50th anniversary of that first Poor People's Campaign, grassroots leaders and spiritual leaders understood that the work that had begun in 1968 was more urgent than ever. In the 21st century campaign, it became clear that ecological devastation had to be considered as one of the interrelated systemic evils that shares roots with poverty, racism, and militarism. The premise for the current Poor People's Campaign is outlined and empirically supported in a document. Bruce called it a moral audit. It's called The Souls of Poor Folk. And the authors write, "We come to remind our nation what truths we hold to be self-evident. We come to remind our nation what values we hold dear. In Washington and at state capitals around the country, we hope to make a new moral witness from our love for what Maya Angelou called these yet-to-be United States." And indeed, in preparation for that anniversary and since then, there have been organizing sessions, teach-ins, marches, mass meetings, conferences for artists, musicians, and theologians, and more meetings and marches. I've met people advocating for universal health care, immigration justice, climate action, police accountability, clean air for poor neighborhoods, access to dental care, a living wage, an end to death by incarceration, and most of all, moral discernment in budgets at the local, state, and national level. All of these issues are held in community by people of sharp minds and loving hearts, following the leadership of the people who are most impacted. Social justice is only a small part of what I do as an interim minister, but when I could make it to organizing meetings and public witness events over the last 4 years, I have been transformed by the community. Activists came from organizations with particular focus points, and they showed up for each other because we all understood that what happens to any one of us affects all of us. Witnessing the solidarity between people who come from different social locations, yet know the vision of beloved community calls us together, that has changed my life. I would invite all of us to experience that solidarity more deeply. Our speakers today have connected some of the dots. Spending more money on machines of war than on social uplift is tangled up with racism, environmental devastation, and poverty. Giving corporations and our own government a free pass to pollute our air and water is emboldened by poverty, racism, and the war economy. Denying health care and the basic means of survival to people of all backgrounds is fueled by racism. Systemic evils are connected, and so we must be connected. We must be connected in casting a new constitutional vision for the America that might yet be, a new moral vision for justice and equality for all of the children of creation. We are in this together. When my fight is your fight and your fight is my fight, we show up for each other and we go forward together. In a letter from a Birmingham jail, Dr. King spoke of an inescapable network of mutuality. We are in this together. True liberation is collective liberation. I feel like I say this a lot, but it's not just me. The Poor People's Campaign is about our collective liberation, centering the leadership and stories of those most impacted by systemic evils, and using a moral lens to shape a direction for a revolution of values. Knowing we are connected is not always comfortable. It reminds us of our own pain and limitations, and it means we can't ignore the pain of our neighbors. Yet living into beloved community also means sharing our strength. Our action steps are about showing up, even when it's inconvenient and awkward, so that we can make connections with people in the spirit of movement building. And it's about accepting leadership and wisdom from the people who are most impacted by systemic oppression. If this congregation would like to be part of the Poor People's Campaign, there is a lot we can do between now and the mass Poor People's Assembly and March on Washington on June 20th of this year. That does not conflict with General Assembly. There are buses and carpools to organize. There is home hospitality to arrange. There are logistics to support. And it's also important to remember that this is a state-by-state and region-by-region campaign, with local priorities and local organizations making a difference right here. There is a Prince George's County Poor People's Campaign meeting this Saturday, January 25th at noon at the Greenbelt Library. Check the Maryland Poor People's Campaign Facebook page for details on that. On January 29th, that's a week from Wednesday, at 5:30, there will be a DC area march, followed by a mass meeting at the Church of the Epiphany on G Street Northwest. To me, the point of all of these activities is to find and build relationships between this congregation and other organizations. We move forward together. As Unitarian Universalists, we understand that we are part of an interdependent web. We know that our actions have consequences. As we consider the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I invite us to put our values into shared and organized action by whatever means and talents and opportunities are available to us. Let us not be isolated by the issues that are closest to our hearts and our experience, but united in making common cause for justice and love. So be it. Blessed be. Amen. Amen.